LibertyNation.com does not endorse candidates, campaigns, or legislation, and this presentation is no endorsement.
O Philadelphia Freedom, shine on me. Joe Biden and the City of Brotherly Love. For some. Right now on this episode of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising. With Scott Cosenza.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
If we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
His Twitter account should be suspended.
Right. You want to go to work? Go take the job as an essential worker. Do it tomorrow.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be when people realize.
I think possibly that's the most unattractive form in which prejudice can be met in this country, is the rage of the entitled.
I'm high as a kite in my garage, and I can see through these guys.
In 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to The Uprising, a podcast of LibertyNation.com. I'm your host, Scott DeCosenza, LibertyNation.com's legal affairs editor. And with me today is Timothy Elting Donner, LibertyNation.com's senior political analyst. And we're going to need the most senior status of political analyst we can get after Joe Biden's, whatever he did in Philadelphia last
memorable
night, reporting on Friday morning, September memorable the 2nd. Good morning to you, Mr. Donner.
Hello, Scott.
Before we get in, hold your horses on Philly and Biden. We're going to talk about...
That's not what it is.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to keep all the details of this Warren stuff in my head so I can present it. So that's why I'm a little bit tuned out here. So let me get into it. This is the request for a... you've already flummoxed me with your...
Blame me. That's fine, yeah.
This is the request for a special master. So let's talk about that first, and then we can get into what happened in Philly.
That's a racist term, by the way.
Very racist. Yeah. By the way, you know, you're not lying, right? They don't call it a master bedroom anymore. There's some new name that the real estate people have invented.
You're right.
I forget what it's called. But anyway, they don't say master bedroom. It's so
the
hilarious.
Spousal chamber.
Yeah, no, Tim, spouse. Like, there's no spouses anymore buying houses. You show how out of touch you are by referring.
All right, well, then go ahead and declare your pronouns, please.
So Trump's Mar-a-Lago home gets raided on the 8th. He then submits a petition with the federal court in the same district. And he says, you need to appoint a special master to review these materials that were seized from me at the raid on my home for a couple reasons. And this is why I think just sort of something that's been glossed over. And that's why, even though I don't usually announce my title at the beginning of the show, I did today. I guess it's an appeal or an argument to authority, but it just, you know, I did get the law degree, so I'm going to put it to use and analyze.
Most of the time you try to hide the
yes,
fact
it's true
that you're a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I'm under daily, if not weekly, if not daily, barrages from people like yourself who remind me that the lawyers of the world are the, you know. Was it Shakespeare that said kill all the lawyers, or was that somebody
yeah,
else?
Yeah, Shakespeare. cue the lawyer and shark jokes.
You know, there's a great line in maybe I'll throw it in here if I can find it quickly in post production. But Danny DeVito from Other People's Money, he's frustrated with this scene of a table full of lawyers.
TRO, temporary restraining order. Thank you very much. Some crew I've got. 17 lawyers on retainer, and you manage to work it out so that in a free market, a so-called free country, I can't buy some shit stock every other asshole can buy. Congratulations. You're destroying the capitalist system. While everybody else in the world is embracing it, my boys and girls are f***ing it up. You know what happens when capitalism gets f***ed? The communists come back. They come out of the bushes. Don't kid yourself. They're waiting in there. But maybe that's not so bad. Because you know what happens when the commies take over? the first thing they do is shoot all the lawyers. And if they miss any of you, I'll do it myself. Now let's see if we can get this small town judge to change his mind. Come on.
That's reminiscent of the barrage of lawyer comments I get from the senior political political analyst. In this case, I'm going to prove some value here.
This is an unfair charge because I'll often call you counselor.
Yes, that's true.
And that is a bow to your educational credentials.
Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate it.
You shark, you.
I'll start keeping a list of the positives versus the negatives. We'll see how they weigh out. So Trump says, Trump runs to court. Well, not runs. He walks because it wasn't filed right after the search. And that's sort of one of the things that the Justice Department is actually saying works against him, is that he waited too long. But in any case, Trump goes to federal district court and he says you need to appoint a special master in order to review these documents because they are subject both to attorney-client privilege and executive privilege claims. And the DOJ has said, firstly, I mean, Tim, honestly, when I read this, I was just a bit like, are they going to put this out there? Like, okay. They said that he didn't have standing to object to the search of his home because the items that were seized did not belong to him. Meaning, their official position is these papers belong to the United States government, and therefore Trump can't legally stand in court and have the judge rule on whether the way they were seized was violative of the law, or they should be returned, or they're subject to one of these privileges. And I'm laughing it's just the kind of argument that I think that is typical for the government to make. By the way, I don't suggest that Trump lawyers in the Department of Justice, if this were some humdrum case about another party, wouldn't make the same arguments. They would. But that just shows you the contempt, I think, of the lawyers for the government, for the private property of Americans, to say that they can go and invade your home. And if what they're alleging is that you have government property, they're saying that you can't even go to court to have the court examine the circumstances of it and even maybe rule on whether it is government property or not. That's their position. So Trump says you've got to review it for executive privilege and attorney-client privilege. The government says we've already assembled a attorney-client privilege team and already reviewed it. And what we have reserved that is covered by attorney-client privilege. So this, by the way, is any communication that Trump may have had or contemplated having with legal representation. Those would be documents that are subject to attorney-client privilege. But the executive privilege claim has to do with whether or not Trump can basically withhold these documents because he was the president of the United States and the executive. But the Biden administration says, no, there's no privilege claim here. We're the executive. Joe Biden's the executive. He controls the executive branch. And he says there's no trouble at all. No problem and no claim. And so we have now what may be, for the very first time, courts ruling on whether or not one executive can basically give a privilege claim that another subsequent executive doesn't honor. Now, there's a Nixon case on point here that the government is using to kind of elevate their argument and back it up. And it said that basically Nixon couldn't object to a review of tapes while he was president because those who would be reviewing it would be within his own executive branch. But that claim wasn't made when Nixon was not president. He was still president at the time. So I don't think it's the same thing. This is, you know, it's running him down, Tim, for a violation of the law that we don't prosecute others for generally.
It's not a criminal statute.
He had, well, there are criminal statutes at play.
That they added in.
That
sure.
They're trying to, right. Well, so that's what part of the two-step is, yeah. Okay, is to get him, because what happens is there's a criminal statute that allows for the prosecution of somebody regardless of the classification status of the information that they hold. It's not something that's used often because we're not arresting people for going 56 in a 55 zone, even though the law may allow it. It's the turning of the law against Donald Trump in a way that is not used against other people. And that's what the special master.
That's what
he's asking the special master to do, is to actually establish that there may be executive privilege within this document. And again, the special master works for the courts. Right. So that's the other branch of government. And if Donald Trump gets the special master, we may find out during the recording of this podcast whether he gets it or not. It will be a huge win for Trump. Now, if the special master is awarded is tasked with assessing both privilege claims, Tim, both the attorney-client privilege claim and the executive privilege claim, that will be the mega win for MAGA, okay?
Right, Trump but will, that depends on who the special master is. Who's strictly objective right down the middle.
Well, the
There's
reason why is
like that.
It'll
Everybody
slow
has.
Down the process yeah. massively and allow for a lot more legal arguments and wrangling mm-hmm. over, and that's mm-hmm. why it'll be a big mm-hmm. win. When sure. you're being attacked by the government and the government is amassed against you, what you want to do is you want to slow everything down to a snail's pace and a crawl and be able to pick everything apart rather than getting kind mm-hmm. of steamrolled over. And that's what the Justice Department wants. Just to be clear here, what the Justice Department said is you cannot give any oversight to this process. So I know that was a lot, Tim, and some dense for your listening pleasure. What did you take away from that? I know that you think it's largely a political kind of question, and the legal niceties aside, don't generally control, I think, the outcomes. Is that a fair assessment
of
your?
I think what I would say is that is a detailed and comprehensive and lucid legal analysis of the situation. But all that tells us really is how does DOJ going to go about doing its, what many people think is dirty business, or what many people think is righteous business, right? But to view it through, I think, a strictly legal lens is to miss the essence here. It has to be viewed through a political lens. And I think, once again, the relevant quote here is from Joseph Stalin, "Find me the man, I'll find you the crime." Do you think it's a coincidence that we had in rapid fire succession, number one, the January 6th show trial, which is coming back to a theater near you again. Number two, we had the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the recriminations about that. And number three, we have the President of the United States going in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia and delivering, I can't speak for 230 years of history, Scott, but I can speak for about 60 that I've followed in my lifetime. I've never seen such a divisive speech in which a president of the United States essentially writes off and castigates half the people in the country. I've never.
Let's go ahead before you move on and make another point. Let's go ahead and just give a listen to some of the words from President Biden last night.
Equality and democracy are the rock upon which this nation is built. But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country. We are still, at our core, a democracy. And yet, history tells us the blind loyalty to a single leader and a willingness to engage in political violence is fatal to democracy. For a long time, we've told ourselves that American democracy is guaranteed, but it's not. We have to defend it, protect it, stand up for it, each and every one of us. That's why tonight, I'm asking our nation to come together, unite behind the single purpose of defending our democracy, regardless of your ideology.
I was expecting to see you packing when you came on video. Don't you have a, aren't they going to put you on a train soon, Tim? Seems like that's where things are headed. The MAGA Republicans.
My understanding is there's a lot of.
Did he not announce there was going to be concentration camps set up for you folks?
There's a lot of concentration camps that have gone to rack and ruin that can be, you know, that can be,
shovel ready projects for.
They can be made carbon neutral and used.
Oh, they're
to send these MAGAs.
They've got to get the renewables squared away before they send the people out there.
You know, we can joke about it, but honestly, this is very scary. I mean, it really is. When you put these three together, the January 6th and this Mar-a-Lago raid and the president of the United States using the bully pulpit as a bully to basically write off and call what the same thing that he called them essentially earlier in the week, which is semi-fascists. Now, the biggest mistake he makes, Scott, is when he says these MAGA Republicans, they're not a majority. They are the Republican Party. Every single candidate, and I pointed this out in my article about the, you know, I called it in LibertyNation.com, Biden's F-bomb, which is fascist, right? He's trying to claim that just a small group of people trying to pull off a putsch like Adolf Hitler essentially represents just a small minority of the Republican Party, but they're in a huge danger. So if they were such a small minority, why are they a danger? I mean, is Antifa a danger? Ultimately, no, because they're a small minority. But this, when he talks about political violence, a leftist like Joe Biden decrying political violence is rich beyond measure. When you
think about that,
in the summer, let me just lay out the facts.
Is it political violence to raid Donald Trump's house and direct that to happen?
Well, how about in the summer of 2020, there were over 500 recorded riots. Essentially, the country was in full meltdown. The country was being pulled apart at the seams.
And they were mostly peaceful, those rallies.
Biden and his allies stood there and did nothing. And now they want to talk about a single event where a tiny fraction of a relatively small crowd acted as extremists and turned a rally into a riot. And they're trying to say now this makes all the people that voted for Trump, 74 million, semi-fascists and extremists. This is a curious political platform for Joe Biden to take. And Scott, he would only be doing it really for one reason, and that is the same reason that he ran for president in 2020 that he claims, which is to run Trump out of Washington on a rail.
I think that his whole
legacy, as he sees it, is to rid the country of Trumpism. And he was willing to use a nationally televised primetime speech in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, one of the most historic and important locations.
It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Come on
now. And he does it, and he spends the entire speech attacking, maybe he doesn't realize it, but he's attacking 74 million people. That is a curious and a toxic and a dangerous, truly dangerous political strategy.
This was on
top of everything
address,
else done.
An uplifting address to the nation, Tim. It was a speech of hope and unity. I don't know what you were watching.
I got the same impression that you got in thinking through and studying this Mar-a-Lago raid. I got that watching the Biden speech, which to me was really frightening, the same way you think that the Mar-a-Lago raid was, which I can't disagree with, as what Biden's own language, as an inflection point in American history. It's a pivot point, there's no question, because the gloves are off and both sides are accusing the other of tearing down democracy.
Yeah, the use of Independence Mall and Independence Hall for his political rally, I thought was unfortunate. With the Marines standing next to him as he's denigrating roughly, half of American voters.
And he's just playing into Trump's hands, by the way.
Just seems super gross. You know, I spoke to an occasional listener of the podcast to whom I'm related after the announcement of his speech and before it. It was after his talk in Scranton. And, so he's campaigning hard in Pennsylvania because the Democrats see some opportunity there. I think he's going to Pittsburgh, if not today, maybe over the weekend. So it's all Pennsylvania for Lunch Bucket Joe to kind of, make these inroads. And I said to this person who is a Catholic, I said, listen, you could, believe all of the tenets of the Catholic faith and still not remind, Muslims or Baptists or Jews that, they're going to spend, they're not going to the same place that you are, right? Like, you don't have to let them know. You don't have to point out every division that can be used to separate people. If you really want to bring people together, right? Like, does Joe Biden have to talk about Donald Trump? Like, why is he talking about Donald Trump now in 2020?
I can tell you another thing it shows is that he's scared to death of Donald Trump. And why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
I'm planning another piece for LibertyNation.com, which the subject's very compelling, because if you look at the 2024 polls, in a hypothetical Biden versus Trump rematch, you're talking now after essentially 18, 19, 20 months, whatever it is, since Biden took over, where we've had the January 6th hearings, the worst possible look for Donald Trump has been presented to a national audience. Mar-a-Lago has been raided. They've crossed a Rubicon with that. The president of the United States is devoting his entire presidency, it seems, evidenced by his primetime speech, to demonizing Trump and his followers. So even in light of all of that, and everybody knows about January 6th, when you look at the hypothetical matchup, Scott, in three of the last five polls taken, Trump is ahead by between 4 and 6 points. In a real clear politics average, he's up almost a point, 0.8. More importantly, he is up huge in three states he lost last time. State polls up 9 in Pennsylvania, up 7 in Georgia, and up, I think it's 7 in Arizona. These are all states that he lost, which if he runs again and flips it, he will win, assuming he doesn't lose states that he won. So think about that, Scott. That makes quite a statement. They have thrown the kitchen sink at Donald Trump. They've thrown everything at him they can. And now Biden's throwing his whole presidency at him. And still, Trump is at worst tied with Biden. And when you take it down to battleground states, he's kicking his butt.
Let me ask you this.
That's remarkable. Think about that.
Let me ask you this.
Remarkable.
Put on your imaginary, you know, if this were to happen, hat, and tell me what the reaction would be. Biden gets up there and he says, I believe that Donald Trump violated the law with respect to these documents that he had. And it was vitally important for us to get them back because of the security information they possessed. But I recognize that as the person who's in a political contest with him most recently and perhaps in the future, that this comes off as, you know, problematic. And you, the American people, can decide, you know, whether or not what he did was worthy of sanction or not at the polls, if it comes to that. But because of the political nature of a decision to prosecute, I'm going to tell you and Donald Trump and everybody in America, I'm not going to do it. And it's not about getting a jail, get out of jail free card. It's just about trying to heal and move past this. Can you, like,
it's so what Ford
I'll ask
did,
you for your opinion, but in my
Ford
opinion, that would have been a huge win for Joe Biden, huge win for him.
I agree.
And Republicans who are not, you know, he says MAGA Republicans. Let's just say Republicans that aren't like total Trumpers. Okay. You know, I think they would respond favorably. I don't think they're going to go campaign and write checks for Joe Biden, but I don't think they'd be so animated. To me, all the Biden Justice Department actions against Trump do, and this kind of speech, it just animates the people.
Absolutely,
for Trump,
it does. It plays like, right into,
you know,
Trump's hand.
I was wondering. I was almost going to wear my basket of deplorable shirt on this this recording, Tim. Because, you know, it's like Biden brings back the basket of deplorables. That's what I feel like.
Well, those things are out. Now they've been replaced with proudly semi-fascist. That's the new T-shirt, proudly.
Yeah, not even a deplorable.
Semi-fascist.
Now you're,
but here's
you're
what
fascist.
I think he's really worried about, Biden, because he says this is a small group within the Republican Party. That couldn't be further from the truth, because, Scott, of course, Trump has famously endorsed, what, like a couple hundred candidates, I think it is.
I don't know.
This year. But what's telling is that even the candidates that he doesn't endorse almost universally endorse the MAGA platform, the Trumpism. So Trump's agenda, which is what people elected him for, they didn't elect him because they like his personality. They elected him for his agenda. His agenda before the pandemic was something that the American people approved of in high numbers. And so he's afraid of the Trump agenda, even beyond Trump, because he's got to deal with DeSantis if he doesn't deal with Trump. And DeSantis is pretty much every bit as MAGA friendly as Trump is. So he's trying to stop a movement that he must be afraid of. He must be severely afraid, Scott, if he's willing to devote a primetime speech at the place where an Independence Hall to attacking 74 million people. He must really be scared.
I think that we've just got a breakthrough here. I think that you have secretly now agreed with me that Joe Biden is running for re-election for president of the United States. Is that?
Well, look, he
have
he
you
has
come around
said,
on that, Tim?
Well, look.
And if that's an apology, I accept. I'll just say it right now. That's how magnanimous I am.
There's everybody else, and then there's Biden. Okay. Now everybody else thinks either, of course, he's not going to run, or of course he shouldn't run, or boy, I hope he doesn't run, or boy, I hope he does because he'd be easy to beat, or something like that.
Yeah.
But Biden himself, on at least two occasions, has said, not. It's been privately said, but quoted without contradiction, that he says, who else is going to stop Trump? That's his view. That's his whole legacy now. He's got this Inflation Reduction Act and all this stuff. But really, his place in history, he sees as basically akin to Liz Cheney. Stop Trump. And again, devoting a full primetime speech to that is stunning. I think, I hate to use this word, but unprecedented in my lifetime. I've never seen, I mean, Trump, as much as he attacked people, he never attacked Democratic voters. He never attacked Bernie voters. He never attacked Hillary voters. He never attacked Biden voters. But what Biden's doing is attacking Trump's voters, and they're going to take it that way. And every candidate in the Republican Party is MAGA, in effect. Maybe they won't be in 4 years or 8 years. We don't know. But to convince yourself or try to convince the nation that Trump's agenda is wildly unpopular is a misfire of epic proportions.
Well, he's a Republican, and there's a cult of personality around him. So he has to be taken down, unlike Barack Obama, who had the biggest cult of personality, of course, surrounding him. But that's just an opportunity for worshipful praise that we have to embrace.
The problem that Biden's going to have this time, it's a huge problem. It's pretty much a twofold problem and beyond. Number one is he won't have a pandemic to help him get elected, because he could just stand on the sidelines and attack everything Trump did.
And he fixed the pandemic. What do you mean?
Having no responsibility. But now he could. He doesn't have a pandemic. And what he does have is a record which can be compared to Trump's. It's not speculative anymore. Now Biden will have his four-year record to put up essentially against Trump's 3 years, because the pandemic, I mean, everything went berserk. So that's the problem that Biden's got, is that he will now have a record to defend against Trump or DeSantis or whoever else runs against it.
I saw a story this week. A decision came down from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it was a good decision, I thought. It said that the Fellowship for Christian Athletes, I believe is the name of the organization, a student club, couldn't be discriminated against because the club basically requires members or rather, I think, leadership to assert that they agree to a certain like code of conduct, including a chastity and maybe something else that offended the notions of, you know, the progressives.
I'm familiar with the group, right?
Okay, you're familiar with them, is that right?
Yes.
Tell me about them, please.
Well, I haven't read about them in some time, but I know they were a group of. I was sort of focused on basketball, primarily players who's had in common their Christian faith, and they would band together and they'd be like a traveling team that would play college teams. Like at the start of a college season, they play an exhibition game.
Scrimmages and so forth. Okay.
And they used to be called Athletes in Action. I think that was then renamed the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, although it may be, it might be a separate organization.
They want to be a high school club, just like the La Raza Club and the Chess Club and the whatever club.
The Black Lives Matter.
And non-political, all kinds of clubs, which get sanctioned from the school. They get some funding. They can book, you know, classroom space to meet and whatever, you know, normal high school club stuff. But the administrators and teachers of the San Jose school district in California, where they are, basically discriminated against them because of their religion. They called them all sorts of nasty names and denigrated them for their Christianity and their will to express it, you know, through this club. And they lost at the district court level a motion for summary judgment to make the school and the school district have to recognize them as a normal club. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overruled the district court and said, we're going to issue an injunction. Now, the case will still proceed over the merits. But for now, anyway, they were stopped from discriminating against these Christians because of their faith, which is what they wanted to do. And I'm reminded when I read the story, I was thinking about writing about it for the sponsor of today's podcast, Tim, LibertyNation.com, the viewer and listener source for political news and analysis 24/7, 365, that I remember the rally in San Jose where the police chief told the cops to allow the progressives and Antifas to beat the MAGA attendees. And so this is kind of a long circle back to your.
Is that political? Is that political violence?
So that's what I was thinking.
Only from the right. Yeah.
We're talking about political violence. And what about, you know, how short our memories are on Inauguration Day for Donald Trump? There wasn't this, you know, beautiful parades in the streets. It was violence in the streets. It was burning down vehicles in the nation's capital and riots.
But it was an exceptional time, Scott. The regular rules didn't apply. I mean, look, having the left criticize
these are extraordinary circumstances, Tim, and our normal rules of decorum.
I mean, what state of affairs have we reached when a left-wing Democrat stands up there as president of the United States and with a straight face says that it's Republicans who are the party of political fire?
You know, so before the speech in Philadelphia took the wind out of the week in terms of politics, he gave this speech in Scranton. And there is a moment there, Tim, I just thought, to talk about the gall, the sheer just willingness to.
It's called a chutzpah.
Yeah, the chutzpah. Thank you. Let's check in with Joe on chutzpah.
It's time to ban these. It's time to ban these weapons. We did it before. We can do it again. Folks, it's time to hold every elected official's feet to the fire and ask them, are you for banning assault weapons, yes or no? Ask them. If the answer is no, vote against them. Look, I'm prouder that after 7 years, we finally have a Senate-confirmed director of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms responsible for any gun crimes. For 7 years, the other team would not let us appoint anyone to that job. Incredibly important job to help local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, identify the ballistics, a whole range of things. For 7 years, we finally got a pass this time out, barely. 7 years because they didn't want anybody in that job. My plan gives the Bureau the funding to hire more agents, to stop gun trafficking. And by the way, there's a lot of states that don't allow you to purchase certain weapons in the state. But just cross the state line and go buy it next door, bring it across the state line. Keep guns out. You know what the Mexicans are? Mexico, which has real problems causing us real problems, you know what their biggest complaint is? Can't we stop gun trafficking across the southern border into Mexico? There are certain gun dealers that are basically, not gun dealers, they're wholesalers, providing the weapons to anybody who have the money. Folks, look, we can help local law enforcement. We can solve more gun crimes if we have someone heading up, which we finally do, this organization that's designed to track this kind of behavior.
I don't think he was on his usual puppy uppers there, Scotty. He sounded very subdued, like he was about to go somnambulistic on us.
You know,
but look, you know, it's really honestly in the background of that shot, if you're just listening rather than watching, in the background as he's making this speech is placard saying a safer America. I mean, talk about rich. He says a safer America as like Democrat run cities from coast to coast have spiked.
Finally, we got some Democrats in office. We can all breathe easy from the right. Exactly.
Record crime rates. And now he's going. Now he says.
No, but you're missing this. Hold on. The bigger chutzpah move, Tim, is to say that we finally now have an ATF director after these guys, the other team, he says, wouldn't let us They wouldn't let us put our guy, anybody we chose in there for 7 years. And it's true. Republicans resisted.
They rejected one gun grabber after another. How
and by the way, you know, I know we've played the clips on here before, and I'm not going to play a David Chipman clip, but David Chipman was Biden's nominee to lead the ATF. David Chipman left the agency and then made a living working for the gun grabbers. He worked for, I mean, you know, you have to, when you hire somebody to lead a federal agency, if one of the things that they are in charge of is a contentious issue, they should at least be somebody for whom people on both sides of the contentious issue can think of is a non-political operative type and a respectful person who's going to follow rules and the law. And by the way, that's who we have now. Just so you know, this guy, Steve Dietelbach, I think his name is the current ATF director. And he was an Obama United States attorney. And I'm sure that he is generally hostile to increased gun possession and carry, just to be my guess. I've looked into his background a little bit, but he's not a rabid anti-gunner who's going to mobilize the agency to kind of like invent new ways to screw with gun owners, which is what David Chipman was going to do.
In other words, not Letitia James.
You know, I can tell you, I probably have a 500 emails in my inbox from different gun organizations motivating people and informing them about Chipman's nomination against, right, to call your congressman and all that, and none for Dietelbach because of the type of person that he tried to put in there. And that's just the thing, Tim. When I saw that, my mouth was open. But he's saying, like,
see the head fakes? See the projection that the Democrats have cleverly employed for the longest time? They're the party of defund the police. So Biden gets up there and makes a big show of don't defund the police, fund the police. Oh, okay. Now you tell us, as you enter the midterm campaign, afraid you're going to have huge losses in the House and might lose the Senate too. Now you're going to act like you're tough on crime. You're going to say, what is it? Safety? What did I just call it? Safety. What's the placard say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Safety, whatever. Like, they're using the exact things that the voters hate about them and trying to act like they're against all the things that they've been in favor of. I mean, Biden didn't.
Tim, it's smoke and mirrors. It's
total smoke and mirrors. Yeah. So it has total contempt for the voter. I mean, it's politics. It's a sewer to begin with. But I mean, this kind of thing, where you're trying to, it'd be like Donald Trump getting up there in 2020 and say, Joe Biden has loose lips. He insults too many people. Right. I mean, it'd be like that.
He went on in Scranton, by the way. He did the thing about the Kevlar, the deer wearing Kevlar.
Safer America, by the way, is that the placard said Safer America.
I'm glad you got that out. Thank you.
I'm done.
rather than me characterize the statements, let's listen to Biden and Scranton. I think this is like a pocket symphony of chutzpah and outrage and just like I let's go and play.
You know, we're living in a country awash with weapons of war. Weapons that weren't designed to hunt are designed to take on an enemy. That's what they're designed to do. For God's sake, what's the rationale for these weapons outside of a war zone? They inflict severe damage. When I was recently in Uvalde, I almost hesitate to say to some of the kids in here, you know what some of the parents had to do? Supply DNA. Because the AR-15 just rips the body apart. Could not identify the body. A 20-year-old kid can walk in and buy one? DNA to say that's my baby. What the hell's the matter with us? No, I'm not joking. Think about it. What are we doing? And by the way,
How many, my dad used to love to hunt in the Poconos when we lived in Scranton. How many deer or bear wearing Kevlar vests? Huh? Not a joke. Do you realize the bullet out of an AR-15 travels 5 times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun? 5 times is lighter and can pierce Kevlar. Imagine being a parent, not just losing a child, but not being able to physically identify the child or the adult because they've literally been blown apart.
We're sorry your son is dead, but I can tell you at least it was not with an assault weapon.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. They use some.
That's essentially. Yeah. Yeah. What he's saying, you know, his ignorance about guns, you know, for a guy.
You're 1,000% right. And let's clean up just because we've published misinformation. Let's give the right information. It's true that a bullet fired from an AR-15 maybe could pass through Kevlar or a bullet resistant vest, as every modern rifle round could be. Those vests are designed to protect against handgun. They have, some of them have like what are called trauma plates or shock plates they can put in them to beef up the level of protection. But it's like saying, it's just ridiculous. Any modern rifle can do it. And the line about the bullet being 5 times faster that comes out of an AR-15 is just absolutely made up. It's totally ridiculous. It has no bearing in fact.
Are you questioning the president of the United States?
He needs to get on the horn.
Seriously, Scott.
Director.
That's the ATF director. Well, I mean, look, they're still playing off the same music. They still won't understand, refuse to understand, don't want to understand, don't want to know about the overwhelming majority of guns that are used by people for self-protection, which is what the Second Amendment was all about. They're just never going to get it. They won't admit it because it doesn't fit their political agenda.
Are there a lot of Democrats, Tim, that are pining for this assault weapons ban that they think that is like, of all the lists of, they're people are limited in their capacity for action, right? A politician, a federal agency, whatever you might have. Is that where they want, the calories burned politically?
He wants to mollify his left wing base. He obviously does. If you look,
do they care about this?
You look at this bill more back. It's been a liberal position, not just a progressive position for a long time.
But it's broad and shallow, right? So I always thought that, so Pennsylvania, by the way, has got historically had the most NRA members of any other state. And I don't even think that's per capita. I think that's just a straight number. They have, it's a very much outside of, the cities, it's a hunting culture. They have a lot of school districts have off the first day of deer season because that's that kind of place. And those people, even though, by the way, I have to put a pin in that and come back around to it because I have to remind people that in many places, I'll have to check and see if Pennsylvania is one of them. You cannot hunt with an AR-15, Tim, because it is insufficiently deadly because it's a small caliber.
Because you'll injure the animal.
That's exactly right. It can lead to an injury without death, which is, of course, a horrible outcome for a large mammal in the woods of Pennsylvania, and hunters try to be humane. And so this weapon of war that's likely to explode a body to beyond recognition, you can't even use it on animals in the wild in a lot of states in this country because it's insufficiently deadly. So just that ignorance alone, but I forget what I was going to come back to in any case.
It's a good idea, I think, when politicians or anybody else are ignorant of a subject that they just kind of steer clear rather than reveal their ignorance in the way that they address a problem. But, you know, he's scrambling around. He, he's had a couple of legislative victories and all of this stuff. So now he's all, you know, he's all pumped up on who knows what. And he's giddy. You know, now he thinks that, you know, he's back in the saddle and he's about to soar in popularity. So that's why he feels emboldened to do this kind of stuff and actually go in support of a candidate, which I think is only the second time he's even been asked this year to go and be seen with a Democrat candidate, because most of the time they're like, no, sorry, I have to rearrange my sock drawers the day the president's coming, or thanks, I think we can, we're good. We don't need
it. Yeah. The thing I wanted to just say is that, so for Pennsylvania, the assault weapons type legislation, the support for that is broad and shallow, where the opposition to it is very, very deep. It's more narrow, but it's very deep.
It's far more important to gun owners than gun grabbers.
Yes. I just don't see Pennsylvania Democrats motivated to get off their duff and go to the polls to see an assault weapons ban where they know, by and large, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
Everything is negative here from this president. We've got to stop this. We got to stop that. We got to stop guns. We got to stop Trump. We got to stop MAGA. I guess he feels that his positive agenda is not breaking through. So he has to go. He has to go scorched earth. He has to go dark on every single issue. When's the last time you heard something soaring or optimistic from him?
I mean, the student loans thing was optimistic. Recently, you know.
Well, it was optimistic because he basically, look, he might as well with the student loan, he might as well have said, hey, if you go to the polls, I'll give you $10,000.
Well, that's where Castro used to give out the food tickets at the rally. So if you wanted,
exactly. Right. No, I mean, you know, Biden might as well have just sent a $10,000 check that was only cashable at the election booth, right? If you show up, you can cash this check. I mean, it's basically that, it's that naked. Of all the people, by the way, here's another thing I can't understand, because, of course, this is another incredibly poor political move, the student loan thing, because everybody except the people being bailed out are outraged about it because they either got their own loan paid off or they worked through college and didn't take a loan. They did it the hard way. And now, you know, but he might as well, you know, he might as well have just basically written him a check and say, if you vote, here you go.
All right. Put your political hat on for me. Your prediction hat. What does the future look like in Pennsylvania? We've got an election here in, 2 months. Mm-hmm. Let's say things don't change measurably on the political scene between now and then. Where do things stand?
Well, the fact that Biden is going to Pennsylvania is a political calculation that Fetterman's going to win. And Fetterman has been ahead comfortably in all the recent polls. Mehmet Oz is a very weak candidate. Dr. Oz, of course, with the video.
Yeah, he's powered up on crudité all day long. What are you talking about? He's ready to go.
The crudité thing was devastating, honestly. It was devastating to him. And it also just allowed people to say, and oh, by the way, he's not even a real pencil.
I don't want to repeat like misinformation on the show, but I do want to ask, and I legitimately don't know. Is he like some dual citizen of Turkey, or is that just like some like political rumors I've heard?
There was that issue, and yes, I think he is or was. I'm not sure if he still is. Which, you know, dual citizenships are always a very,
I think that makes the crudité thing even better. Like that he's foreign, you know what I mean? If he was raised in Pennsylvania, you know.
Well, I think this is the one race where Trump, it seems, really got it wrong. I mean, he was First of all, his base, the MAGA base, never trusted Dr. Oz because he was anti-Trump when he ran in 2016. He hated Trump. Now, yeah. Suddenly, he likes Trump and everything that he stands for. And Trump picks him against a pretty respectable opponent, a guy named David McCormick, who would have been a pretty safe choice. And fairly well liked.
Not a celebrity, though, Tim.
Probably would be ahead, yeah.
No TV. No TV.
That race.
His Q rating wasn't as good as Dr. Oz's.
I think it could be that we meet on the Thursday after the election, Scott, and I'll be saying, well, it was Pennsylvania that caused Republicans control of the Senate because that's a race they had to win. Number one, because the Democrats are so vulnerable. And number two, because it's a seat they already hold. Pat Toomey is the incumbent there. So that's a seat they have to hold. And when you're trying to break a tie in the Senate, you can't afford to lose seats that you already have, because then you got to make up two that you have to take from the other side in order to make up for losing the one. See, because to be tied again is no good. They have to get 51. And so, you know, that's a critical, critical race. And so is Georgia. And so is Arizona.
Tim, no matter the result, I will be delighted to share the podcasting stage with you and listen to your analysis of it. And I'm sure so many others will as well. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's put a pin in it, and we'll see you next week.
Can't wait, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for this edition of The Uprising. Remember to hit Liberty Nation News for original articles, LN Radio, and our signature television program, The Conservative Five. Just go to libertynation.com on your browser, or hit Rumble, YouTube, or check out our Liberty Nation News Roku channel. I'm Scott Cosenza. Thanks for watching. This program is a production of libertynation.com, conservative news where truth matters.
Charles, contributor for LibertyNation.com.
I think I'm starting to make an impact. Liberty style. Fight for freedom.
Oh, the tracking poll sponsored by Liberty Nation for Thursday.
Sure. Mentioned by Dan Bongino, Rasmussen, Jordan Peterson, and others.
I can do it again if you want me to.
Cited in Mark Levin's American Marxism.
I think we're starting to make a really big impact. Getting noticed. We're doing it. Rock on. I'm gone.